Would you bow your heads as we remain standing? You are awesome in this place, Lord God Almighty. The highest heavens cannot contain you, and yet you are here, and each one is known, and each one is loved. Help us to hear your word today, and help us to experience your transforming power. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, my dear friends. Today is indeed, as our brother James mentioned, a day of great joy. Such a joy to have new members added to the local church who want to follow Jesus all the way. Some of you were only recently baptized, and you continue your journey now by being part of the cathedral. Others were baptized some years ago. Some others have joined us from other parts of the body of Christ. And it's the great joy in our church for a bishop, one of the bishops, to welcome you into this vineyard, into this community. You have a picture of this community in Acts chapter 2, and that's our prayer, the leadership who are here and myself, that we would create such a community that you would thrive and that the community would be such a blessing to the society. St. Andrew's Cathedral, here in the center of the city district, and God's planted us here, and it's wonderful. So many are here. I believe some of your friends and relatives are here also. You will notice it's a growing community. So Acts chapter 2 finishes by saying, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's what all the different parts, you know, of the body of Christ, that's our great joy. Because his house is a mansion with many rooms, picturesque language. And he's gathering his lost children. And so today we gather with great joy because your journey continues. When you are baptized, you are sealed in your covenant relationship with God through Christ. And you are added to the church. So the church is the universal plus over time, the whole people of God over time and space. But in this large and a cross-generation body, you need to belong to a local church. That's God's plan. That's how we see it in Acts chapter 2. They were added to the church in Jerusalem. And so I pray today as the service continues, you would take seriously that you are giving your loyalty. And as I understand God's ways revealed in Holy Scripture, it's good to be loyal to the community that he has chosen for you and you have chosen for yourself. So my topic today is the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is indispensable for transformation. So if there's one word to take away from today's service, from the Word of God, it's the word transformation. Being changed into God's new creation. And the text I want to use is from the Bible. It's Ezekiel 37. So it's great if you have your Bible, and we have it in different forms. So please would you turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. So God speaks to us, my friends, through pictures. That's really, well, what shall I say, huh? So powerful, especially in our day and age. So as you read the scripture now, I'm praying that by imagination you enter in. So the prophet Ezekiel is taken in the spirit to a place where it's so full, there are many bones and they are very dry. I think if I use the next slide, you may get a picture of it. So this is where the prophet is taken. And the context is that the people of God, Israel, in the Old Covenant, because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, God has judged them and they have lost their country. They have lost their way of life. They have lost their temple. They are dispersed in the Babylonian Empire. And so they are scattered, you see. And the big question is, and it's in verse 3, can these bones live? Can this nation be regathered and recover its national life? This is the context. And so the prophet is being asked, you know, can these bones live? It's a time, and sometimes we pass that way, our life is decimated, devastated. And we wonder whether there is a future for us, whether we will ever see bright days again. That's the context in which the question is asked, can these bones live? Now, these bones, they represent Israel in exile, ground zero. We use this phrase now, ground zero. Everything is really devastated. Can there be life again? That, my friends, is the condition of sinful humanity. So we are having a picture of what life is like when we are separated, alienated from God. It's disconnected, it's dry, and there is a dust of death over it. So it's a picture of you and me, sinful humanity, when we are separated, when we are in rebellion against God. And it's a condition that most of us here can identify with. I once was lost. But as the songwriter says, but now I see, because the answer to the question, can these bones live again, is yes, right? As you heard the scripture being read, the answer is yes, because they were given sinews and flesh came upon them. And finally, the prophet is told, prophesy, and the wind, the breath, entered them and they stood. So the answer is yes, because of God. It's out of our hands. But because God is God, so the prophet also says, Lord, you know whether these bones can live. Because you alone have the power to give life. Very powerful picture message to us. Can these bones live in those devastating moments in life? And the answer is yes. And for sinful humanity, the answer is yes, because of Jesus Christ, whom we have been wonderfully extolling through the songs. He's our cornerstone. He's alive and he's given us new life and a whole new future to look forward to. So the centerpiece of our faith is the cross. Because of the cross, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I can live. These bones can live. And that's what Luke 24, which was the gospel reading that Reverend Calvin read, Jesus risen from the dead says, now repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. Because the reason we are dry, disconnected, and devastated is because we are not in relationship with God, you see. He's the giver of life. He's the source of light. And it's through his death on our behalf, our sins are forgiven. No guilt in life. And through his resurrection, no fear of death. Because he's conquered. And so through Christ now, these bones will live. And they will live because we are set free from our sins. And that's the part I want to focus on. And because he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit. So a verse that you need in God's grace to remember is Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, so that everyone who believes in him, everyone who believes in the name of Jesus Christ will be forgiven. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And then the important part, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you, need to enter in, because sometimes we forget what Jesus has done for us. He's forgiven us our sins. That's freeing. But there's something more, my friends. He saves us and he transforms us. He wants us to experience this new life with God, this freedom that he has purchased on the cross, this victory over sin and the flesh and over the devil, which we had resolved in our baptism. And the only way we can defeat these powerful forces, they're very powerful, sin and the flesh and the devil, they're very powerful. But more powerful still is the Holy Spirit. And so in Ezekiel 37, it's the wind, you see, he prophesies to the north and south and east and west, come wind. And when the wind comes, these skeletons, you know, they are dispersed skeletons. They come to life, they come together, and then they stand up. So the picture is to be imprinted. Whenever you feel defeated and you feel, oh, I think, you know, God can't really change me. I just have to settle for who I am. Don't believe that. Because he's given the indispensable gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a message for you who are to be confirmed, but it's a message for all the church. Because sometimes we don't realize that transformation begins now. We're not just purchased for heaven, we're being made ready for heaven. We're being recreated in the image of Christ. That's God's master plan. And he's given his Spirit to do it. So that is how these bones will live, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know, God in his great love has given us that power. If I can perhaps describe it this way, sometimes you have a major celebration and different people give you gifts and so forth. And sometimes they're in plastic bags, etc. So if it's in your home, you just leave it in a corner. Or if it's an outdoor event, you just pack it in the car and take it home. Very often, some of us have experienced you've forgotten about the gift. Until much later, no? When you're spring cleaning for Christmas, maybe. Then you discover, oh, there was this gift and you haven't even opened it. And for many Christians, the gift, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit is an unopened gift. It's given, but it is unopened. The scriptural writers, spiritual writers, it's unreleased. Are you with me, friends? God's given it, but it's unreleased. And that's why we experience defeat. And we don't experience this transformation. We don't experience dry bones standing up, an army ready to serve the Lord. We don't experience it. It's because of an unopened gift. So I bring you now three aspects of the Holy Spirit's transforming power. When this gift of the Spirit is released in your life, you can expect a change in three areas. First, a new heart to obey God's law. When the Holy Spirit is alive and released in you, then you have a new heart for God, to love Him, to walk in His ways. And to love God is to trust Him and to obey His commands, because His commands are for your life, for the fullness of life. It's the enemy who deceives us, and it's our own twistedness that thinks that pleasure is from sin. But God can make you fully human. He can, by the power of the Spirit. And the first thing the Spirit does is give you a heart for God, a heart to love God's law. Because I find the new covenant is so much expressed in God's love, sometimes people say, oh yeah, now I become a Christian, I must do this, I mustn't do this, and it just becomes a new series of do's and don'ts. Don't think of it that way, friends. Think of it in terms of the God who loves you and who knows what brings out the best in you, what really gives you freedom, the dignity and the fullness of His creation. That's what He's after. And if you keep His law, you are loving Him. So we don't want to disgrace God by our misbehavior. I find that to be such a wonderful motivation. Because all of us are prone to give in to ourselves. So the Slavic Christians, they have a picturesque way in Europe, huh? They have a picturesque way of describing it. We don't want to dirty the face of Christ. It's a wonderful incentive to live for God, to live by His law, to trust Him, to break that and to change that which is against Him, which breaks His heart. We don't want to dirty the face of Christ. And the Holy Spirit makes that real, you see. So when the Spirit is alive, the Ten Commandments are not an external demand. They are an internal aspiration. It's different, right? It's very different. And that's what Ezekiel was given, the prophecy in the chapter just before, Ezekiel 36, 26, 27. As God promises a new covenant, God says, I will give you a new heart. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. In other words, friends, it's beyond us. We're not able to have this kind of heart to follow God's law and to trust Him and to delight Him by our obedience. But the Spirit comes, you see, and causes us to walk in His statutes. Now, this transformation can be instantaneous. This power to break the chains of sin and addiction can be instantaneous. So I have a friend who has departed to be with the Lord now, but he was addicted to gambling. It brought untold suffering to himself and to his family. He just was a compulsive gambler. But then Jesus found him. Jesus found him, and then he got to know Christ. And then that habit was broken of gambling. And then his life began to mend. So it can be, and God has different ways. I just want you to be in expectation. On the other hand, I have a friend who ran a home for recovering drug addicts. And that journey for many of them was up and down, up and down. But my friend believed God's word, you see, that the power of God can break the power of any sinful habit. He believed it. So he would walk with them. And every time they fell, he'd encourage them. You know what he called his home? Exodus. Because he knew it was a crossing. And I want to encourage every one of us here. We all have battles, sometimes with known sin, sometimes with hidden iniquity. But the Spirit gives us the power to change. And don't be discouraged if it's not instantaneous. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. It's really encouraging, right? Because we don't wake up as saints, but he's changing me. From glory to glory, he's changing me. And remember, it's the power of the Spirit. That's the first thing, a new heart to obey God's law. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is a new love towards people. You will have a new love. When the Holy Spirit fills your life, you enter a new realm. The worship and songs of adoration just help us, you see. And it's good that we are unhurried because we need to connect with God because God can set us free. And one of the things God sets us free from is resentment, unforgiveness, division. So this love towards others, I just highlight two things. One is, it's a love that reconciles. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you no longer remain quarrelsome. And, you know, nothing will satisfy you, appease you, no? You are cold and hard towards people. And the Holy Spirit fills you because it's the love of Christ, right? So then the Lord's Prayer is very real. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Friends, I want to emphasize that this reconciliation belongs to the family in the first instance. And so later, when I lay hands on you and others at this service, when we are asking for the power of the Holy Spirit, we are asking for the power to glorify God in our relationships. And one of the worst and most difficult divisions is divisions within the family. Because the worst pain is the pain that a loved one gives you. Enemies, by and large, most of us, we can overcome it. But when someone you love, a family member, cheats you or wounds you or speaks against you, or for that matter, a close friend, a work colleague stabs you from behind, how do you overcome apart from this love? This love doesn't blind you. It makes you wise, but it frees you. And you're free, you see. Again, I'm relying on some spiritual writers. The family is the place to overcome the opposition of otherness. I repeat it. Huh? The family is the place to overcome the opposition of otherness, which means to say, because of sin, we are always at odds with the other person. So parents clash with children, brothers and sisters also quarrel with one another. We want our own way, you see. This is the opposition of otherness. And this writer, Retzinger is his name, argues that we need to build the family. Because if you don't overcome it there, your society will be fractured. We have to learn to overcome the opposition of otherness. That's why I'm glad about the Children's Day. We have to find ways, my friends. You know that there's a whole revamp of childcare, and it's going to be available to everyone. So pray for us. We need to just let the government know. You can swing to the other extreme that working parents immediately send their children to full-time childcare. Partly, we need to keep them in the workforce and so forth, but I think it's good for the Christian community to let them know, don't overcompensate. Because the bonding in the early years is important, friends. I have a daughter, and she, in God's grace, does part-time work. And she has two young children. So I can see that's quite an optimal arrangement. It's not just Monday to Friday, leave the child, you see. So she has a two-year-old who is in childcare twice a week, which allows her to look after the younger one. And then she was doing part-time work. I want to let you know, the Holy Spirit helps us to know what makes for life and solidarity. So that's reconciliation. Second, this love seeks to serve. It's a serving love. The picture you have there is of our young people. We have a program called Serve, and they are out on the field. I think it's in Riau Islands or in Batam. They're there serving lower income community. So this love, when the Holy Spirit comes, you no longer live for yourself. It sends you out to a world in need. And this serving one another happens in the church. So the Lord gives us different gifts. Do you know this service cannot hang together without different parts? The people doing the praise and adoration, the PA crew, the person giving out the bulletin, and the small group leaders who took the photograph. I want to encourage you, when you belong to a church, it's not a service you attend. It's a community you belong to. And the words of Jesus ring true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So as we pray for you, yeah, and for those of us here, I believe the Holy Spirit is showing us how do you enter this new life. So that's a new love towards people. Third, you have a new power to witness for Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you a new power to witness, to tell about Jesus, to share your new life, to tell others what God has done in Christ. Ezekiel has these words, "You shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know that I am the living God." Because, friends, I need you to know. So, Israel dispersed in the nations. Can these bones live again? And the prophet, he's in exile. So he's in Babylon. He's receiving this prophecy from God that yes, they can live. What it means for him historically is that the nation will come together. I want to also let you know the Christian faith is anchored in history, in actual events here and now. It's not just a psychological state of being. God, when he makes his promise, will show it, you see. And Israel, well, she returned to her homeland in 539 BC under the Persians. She came back, but she was still under foreign domination. And she didn't know what does it mean that we will live again until Christ came. And then in 1948, she became a political entity. So I say to you, the word of God does not return to him void. So when God says you will live again, he means it. And so the political resurrection of Israel shows us the resurrection to new life, you see. We come to new life, which again is a foretaste of the coming glory. So we can have confidence in God. These are not just songs we sing. They express our faith that on that day we shall see him face to face. And it'll be a transformed heaven and earth, the home of righteousness. Right? This is his salvation, no? Now we need to bear witness to it. And he gives us power. This power means you have courage. So when the Holy Spirit was given in the picture on your left, the Holy Spirit, when he came upon the disciples, they were in a locked room. They just burst out on the streets because the joy and the conviction was uncontainable. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us a new fire, a new power to witness for Christ. I believe that's what God was doing through Celebration of Hope, which we had in May. I trust many of you experienced something of God's compassion and the power of God's truth as so many people came down those steps in the rally. By the way, it's not over yet. We're going to reach out to the migrant workers in their different dormitories. Pastor Terry and others will tell you more. So I believe we have changed gear, that this gospel is for the person who calls Singapore his or her homeland. And I need you to know the Holy Spirit will make it clear. Dry bones, crumbling, brittle, can they live again? God's desire is life. But the word of God is very clear, friends. There is salvation in no other name, no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And then John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting or eternal life and will not perish. Will not perish. This word perish means they will never see light again. They will never see light again. So we are not presenting something which is optional. So this urgency is from the Spirit. We're not propagandists, slogan, you know. We live by slogan. Not at all. We live by a conviction. God has appointed the way of salvation by which dry bones, dead bones, can live again. And so that power comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's a power for us as persons, Christians, and it's a power for the church. So I'm delighted about the Connect groups and the different kind of small groups in the cathedral. And we can see how we can encourage one another. And of course, friends, God has blessed us through the Alpha. So we're not trying to reach people on our own. We can do it together. And the church is helping us to reach the lost. This aspect of being witnesses for Christ needs divine energy. I believe I can say this as someone who also gets exhausted, because sin is resilient. Darkness, yeah, doesn't flee, not yet. Keeps coming back. So you need indefatigable energy. It's not just that some people are more energetic than others. I think there's some truth in that. Some are. But all of us can experience the energy of his love. I believe so. We're not comparing with one another. It's not like that at all. It's just that you need energy to keep extending the kingdom. Extending the kingdom means you're bringing in Christ's rule, you see. So your office or your home can be dark places, but you don't give up, because the Holy Spirit knows that you are the channel of gospel light. I conclude now. It says in verse 10, they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I invite all of us today, as we come to this service, in a moment we'll have a song. I invite you to receive this power. It's not human power. It's not the power of the collective. It's the power from above. And I need you to know it's released within. It's an inner transformation. I'll give you a new heart. And I'll give you a new love and I'll give you a new power. And today, for those who are confirmed, you're joining the army that is in St. Andrew's Cathedral. Praise God, there are many armies. We thank God for many Bible-believing, growing churches. We're not in competition. But God, in His grace, brought you, and you're committing, I believe, committing yourself. Then receive all that God has for you. Now, this picture of they stood on their feet, a great army. This picture is in Revelation chapter 7. Because in Revelation chapter 7, John sees this vision. A vast multitude that no man could number. Standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb. I want to say, that's the scale of Christ's salvation. He saves us now and He saves us for eternity. And that's why I want to reach my friends and some relatives who have yet to know Him. Because I want to stand with them before the very throne of God. You go past the gates of death. And when He returns, we receive this new body and we stand before God. So there is a future, you see, for the people of God. Today, I want to emphasize the future begins now. It begins now, friends. Transformation by the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit begins now. So I want to ask you, are you hungry for this power? It's a promised gift. If you're a Christian, I want to help you to experience the release of the gift. If you have never experienced the power of the Spirit, God is waiting for you to open up your heart and to say, Lord, I need this power. Because I want to be transformed for your glory. There are many descriptions of the Holy Spirit. I pass on to you one that helps me tremendously. Who is the Holy Spirit? The third person of the Trinity, right? But one of my friends, and he's a wonderful author, Gordon Fee, he described the Holy Spirit as God's empowering presence. Can you remember? God's empowering presence. So you're not left on your own. Christ, who saves you, has sent from the Father the Spirit. God's empowering presence. Would you stand? Ask the worship team to come. We'll ask the Lord to fill us, shall we? That we might be transformed. Close your eyes with me, just help you, invite you also to open your palms before the Lord. Father, your word says that those who ask, receive. Pray now that the Holy Spirit, having stirred the hunger through the word, I pray now, we will experience the surge of the Spirit. Lord, He's real. And He has come to transform God's people. Lord, we come to You as we are. Some of us with very tight and difficult situations. But the Word of God says they rise up. Hallelujah. However exhausted, dry, disconnected we are. The Word of God. We believe your word, Lord. Pour out your spirit as we bring you this song of praise. Amen.